So today we're going to discuss, we did the Shlach is Chenem Araglim, and today we're going to discuss Moshe's attempt to convince the Ribono Shel Olam.
It's empty. I just took
some in his
car.
What can you do?
No, but you say no one's drinking it.
Oh, I drank it. Okay. Moshe's attempt to convince the Ribono Shel Olam not to destroy the Bnei Israel. And so the way I like to phrase it is, if God came to you and said, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people, and you have one chance to save them, I'll give you one argument, what could you possibly say? You know what I'm saying? Please, 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 please don't. Because he's already decided to. So you know what I'm saying? What could you possibly say in order to convince the Ribono Shel Olam not to destroy the Jewish people? Deservedly. What? He does say that. But he says something else beforehand. I mean, there's a recurring theme, actually, that Moshe Rabbeinu uses. He's used it before. This isn't the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu has had to try to save the Jewish people. Okay? We're going to see this is the second time, as we know. The first time was Chedego. This is Chedem Aragli. Did I say Chedego before? No. Okay, this is Chedem Aragli. We know what the Chedem Aragli is. This is terrible. Let's turn around and go back to Mitzrayim because we can't conquer the land of Israel. Okay, so says Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to start from Perek Yud Dalid. Yes, Perek Yud Dalid, Pasuk Yud Aleph, chapter 14, verse 11.
But basically, if Hashem wanted to destroy Am Yisrael after Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim, so there must be like some kind of similar, like.
Actually, which is worse? I mean, I don't know if we ever discussed this. Which is worse? Chet HaEgel or Chet HaMeraglim?
Chet HaEgel seems worse.
I think it seems worse.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that Chet HaMeraglim is kind of the same because you don't trust God.
Chet HaEgel is not a lack of trust.
Yeah, it's basically.
What is it? Right? What was Chet HaEgel if we really think about it?
It's not following the laws, you know.
Correct. It's an abandonment of the laws, meaning it's an attempt, if you look at it carefully, to worship God in the way that they knew as opposed to the way that they were instructed.
Right.
Right? And it was obviously a grievous sin, a terrible sin. But Hashem forgave them immediately.
Why do you say it's not a lack of trust?
Why is it a lack of trust? What did they mean? It's not that they didn't trust.
40 days.
Alright, so they miscounted. And what did they do? They didn't say, let's turn around. What did they do? They said, we have to replace Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't say, we don't trust in God. They said, Moshe's gone. So let's figure out what to do. And they did you know what I'm saying? Really? Really? Is that, you think it's so terrible? I mean, it's Abu Dazar. It's pretty bad. They built the building on the cap. It's not good.
You know, he'll be there for that amount then.
Okay, let's say he was late.
He was,
so okay, I understand that, but the action that they didn't say, we don't trust in God, they didn't say, we're rebelling against God, they didn't say, let's go back to Egypt.
Right.
I guess not. What?
Yeah, but they said it so many times.
They have said it a few times, okay? But this time, they did say that. In the divine plan, they did not trust in their ability, and Hashem is saying, I will do it. It will be good. And Moshe is saying, it will be fine. And they're saying, no, it won't. I actually have always thought that Chet HaMeraglim is worse than Chet HaEgel.
I was just going to say that Chet HaMeraglim is also because, you know, Hashem promised you this land, and then now all of a sudden you're saying you don't want it?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Moreover, Chet HaEgel, if you think about it correctly, who sinned in Chet HaEgel? What percentage of the people sinned in Chet HaEgel?
No idea.
You don't know how many people were killed after Chet HaEgel? Several thousand. How many people? That was, and meaning
30,000.
No, less. I think 6,000, 3,000. Whatever it was. However many thousands. It was a small, small minority. The sin of the people was they didn't do anything about it. Okay. Right? They bear responsibility for it. Okay. Whereas Chet HaMeraglim, who sinned?
Everyone.
It was a communal sin. You know, it was really a rebellion against God.
Well, they were swept into it. I mean, they were the 12. The 10 Meraglim.
Yeah.
They swept everyone else.
Correct, but they believed it. They accepted it. They also cried. It says, one second.
So because they didn't challenge it.
Batisa kol ha'ida, the beginning part of Yadalid, the whole community, Vainu kolam vayivku, ba'am ba'alai lahu, the whole community cried that night. Kol ha'ida. Okay? It was really bad. Okay. We could spend the whole time on that. On those
okay.
two, but I don't want to. Yud Aleph. V'yom HaShem El Moshe. God said to Moshe, Ad ana yina'atsuni ha'am hazeh. Until when yina'atsuni will they
provoke
me? Will they anger me? Rashi says. V'ad ana lo ya'aminu bi. B'chol ha'otot asher asiti b'kirbo. Until when? How long are they not going to believe in me? You know, the Rabban Shalom himself says that this is a lack of emunah. Hakenu b'devra v'orishenu v'ese otcha l'gvay gadol v'atzu mimenu. So I'll tell you what, I will smite them with devra, pestilence, plague.
Plague.
And I'll make you into this great nation. Meaning, it's very interesting. Shem says, I won't destroy them completely. I'll destroy them 99.999%. And Rashi says, well, the reason, why not totally?
That's a plague. Why plague?
Interesting
and not,
question.
And not like swallow them, you know, the earth opens up.
I think Dever, the implication is, Dever, the implication of the plague is an immediate, meaning as opposed to an ongoing thing. I will destroy, smite them, like, instantaneously. Okay? Like, for example, if you recall, later on in the Navi, much, much, much later on, right, the Assyrians are encamped at the gates of Yerushalayim, right, and they're wiped out instantaneously overnight. Mm-hmm. Like a plague that just wipes them out. So we'll destroy them. Why does he say that? Look at Rashi for a second. We're going to see all the Rashis, actually. It's very important to see the Rashis. Rashi says, V'orishenu, yod bet, Kitargumo lashon truchin, right? Destruction. I will destroy them. I will horish, like the horish goyim atzumim, to uproot them, to destroy. V'im tomar ma'aseh l'shvuat avod. So Rashi is saying, why is he saying I'll make you into the goy gadol? So if you say, well, what are you going to do about avod, right? Hashem, you promised Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. No problem. V'aseh otcha l'goy gadol. I'll make you into a great nation. Sh'ata mizaram. You are also, you know. So Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, I got them taken care of. So you can't. So Hashem is interesting. According to Rashi, he's taking something off the
table.
No, he's taking the argument off the table.
I say he's preempting the argument.
That's right. Oh, what about Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? No, can't say that. You used that the last time. So don't give me Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'm not going to destroy them totally. Okay. Now, by the way, what did Moshe say the last time? What did Moshe say? Moshe said the last time, if you destroy them, destroy me too.
Yeah.
And what does God say to him the last time? Hashem said, the last time, I decide to destroy, not you. So you can't use that argument either. But he's like taking away all the cards. What do you say if you're Moshe Rabbeinu?
Then there's nothing to say.
But what's there to say? That's the question. What can you say?
No, if Hashem's saying, well, I decide, then he cannot have an answer.
Here's
then,
the trick.
Right?
Why is Hashem telling Moshe this? Why is he telling this? Why is he saying, oh, I'm going to do this. How long? I'm going to destroy them. Why does Hashem say that? Why do we ever tell our children, I am so angry, I'm going to punish you right now? Lahavdil. Why do we say that?
Because you want them to behave.
What?
You want them to behave.
And?
And to be sorry for
fix it! I could just explode! Okay, we'll clean up. You know what I'm saying?
Quite often you have to tell them what to do, though.
What's that?
Quite often you have to tell them what they need to
Excuse me. Quite often you've told them 7 times already. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So you say it in the hopes that the threat of impending doom for your children will finally convince them to actually rectify the situation.
I'm going to lose this and that.
Yes. Right. The Heiliger computer time. You know what I'm saying? That's the... Okay. So...
I once had all my kids' toys packed up in a box for the whole summer because they wouldn't clean them up.
Really?
And every time they went to say, could I have such and such a toy, I said, well, you can have it so long as you clean up afterwards. And they would look at the box of stuff and say...
Fair, forget it.
Okay. And walk out the room.
There you go. Forget it. It's not worth it.
They had the whole summer without toys.
Who suffered?
They did.
Really?
But it didn't...
That didn't bother them?
Yeah. No, it was... They behaved.
Oh, really?
Yes.
There was a period of time where I was charging the kids money if I found their stuff lying around. I was charging them money to buy back like a book or their Game Boy or whatever. It worked.
Your kids were obviously richer than us.
We get them out. when
how
I remember
much
that. Not that, not a lot, a little bit, but like, you know, it's cost of 5 shekels, 5 shekels. Who left out the Game Boy? And they start yelling at each other. You know, they want to use it. Anyway.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, good luck. Like, have fun with that one. Okay.
Yeah, that causes more arguments.
Yeah. So Hashem is leaving it open, leaving the door open. Obviously, he's asking Moshe to say something. So what do you say? So Moshe Rabbeinu uses the old classic argument, the Shanda for the Goyim. Mm-hmm. What will the Goyim say? Okay? And it's a brilliant argument. He's used it before. Remember, Lama Yamru HaGoyim, Ayelo Yam. By Dama, you know what I'm saying? So he says it the same.
So when there's nothing left.
What?
So when there's nothing left.
Vayomer Moshe el Hashem v'shamu Mitzrayim ki ha'alita b'kochacha et ha'am hazeh mikirbo. Okay, God, you're going to destroy the Jewish people. What are the ramifications of that? And Egypt will hear ki ha'alita. Don't look at the English for a second. Ki ha'alita b'kochacha et ha'am hazeh mikirbo. Let's translate for a second. Ki.
Because you brought out
with your great strength this nation from its midst. There's only one problem with that. What's the problem? From its mikirbo. The problem is it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because
the key is very difficult.
Yeah.
Right, so how would you translate instead? V'shamu Mitzrayim, parentheses. Right? Which Mitzrayim? Where at? Ki, look at Rashi for a second. Look at Rashi again. B'shamu Mitzrayim ki ha'alita. See Rashi in the Gimel, ki ha'alita.
When?
Ki mishamesh v'lashon asher. That. V'heim ra'u asher ha'alita b'chokhaka agadol v'kirbam. And Egypt will hear. Egypt. Which Egypt? Which you have, you know, which you took the Jewish people out of their midst with your great strength. Okay? V'amru. By the way, I'm just pointing to that. Why am I pointing it out? Kli Yaakov points out. It's very strange. What should it say? V'shamu Mitzrayim. What? God doesn't know which Mitzrayim we're talking about. It should say V'shamu Mitzrayim. V'amru. Skip the rest of it. Why is Moshe telling God?
What?
It should say V'shamu Mitzrayim.
Because he's emphasizing.
Yeah. What's he emphasizing? Exactly. What?
The washing machine.
Yeah. It sounds like it either sounds like a bomb. It sounds like a launch. Right? Or it sounds like a washing machine. You know what I'm saying?
Like padding off around it?
No, it's the new washing machine. It spins at 1,000 RPM.
My husband did that by mistake.
No, it sounds like 1,000.
Just a wrapping off.
What? That's what it sounds like. It's absolutely normal.
It sounds like an airplane.
Yeah.
Is it a Bosch?
It's a Bosch, I think.
So we had a Bosch one.
Yeah, it's supposed to. I mean, it comes out really dry. Okay.
What did you say after V'shamu Mitzrayim? It should say what? V'shamu Mitzrayim.
Nothing. It should say V'shamu Mitzrayim. V'amru. Skip. See the parentheses?
That he's emphasizing.
What's he emphasizing?
That.
Well, that's exactly the point. What's he emphasizing? He's emphasizing.
You took them out of their midst.
Meaning what?
You proved to them your strength,
correct.
Your sovereignty.
Correct. I mean, the point of one of the great points of Yitziat Mitzrayim was Zekeli ve'anvehu, right? That everyone heard. That's what we say in Az Yashir. Everyone who shamu amim yir gazun chilachaz yoshrei pelashet, that the greatness of God is in Mitzrayim. Okay, why did you do that whole thing? You did that whole thing because they should know the greatness of the Ribono Shel Olam. This is something we don't really talk about very much. One of the goals of Am Yisrael is we're supposed to be a powerful nation because if kishem Hashem ekra, what's the rest of it? Havu godel Eloheinu. Right? When the Jewish people is a strong people, we speak in the name of God. So everybody says, oh, they're a strong people. Oh, they represent a strong God. Right? This image of the Jewish people.
That's not what happens.
If it's the Jewish people, they're doing something wrong.
That's what should happen. Yeah. That's what did happen. And that's what will happen.
It just doesn't happen.
People perceive, because we've been in the exile for so long, that to be a Jew is to be in a position of weakness, and to be in a position of cowering, and to be in a position of needing help from other people. That isn't the idea. The idea is, right, the Jewish people are supposed to be a strong people, and the God that they represent is supposed to be a strong God. Meaning, what's the purpose of going and conquering? Well, part of the purpose of going and conquering Eretz Canaan is they went and they conquered. Like when Yeshua came and he conquered Jericho, They trembled. We know the story at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. They were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because the Jewish people represented something greater than just themselves. Right? If and when Tzahal is as strong as it is, but because we speak in the name of Hashem, that's a great statement. That's a strong statement. That's what it's supposed to be. Instead of just, well, you win some, you lose some. No, you don't win some, you lose some. You win all. Because you represent something higher than yourself. So when the Jewish people said, we can't do it, it's not just that they didn't believe in God. It's also that they refused to carry out their mission in the world. It's one thing for God to say, it's one thing for God to do it himself. Okay, he's a great God. But the purpose of us going and conquering Eretz Canaan was that so they would say, this is a spirit, this is a people infused with the power of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And they didn't believe it. So Hashem said, if you don't believe it, how are they supposed to believe it? Comes along Moshe Rabbeinu and says, no, the Egyptians are going to hear. You're dull. Okay, it's a critical point. So the reason I'm emphasizing this point so much is because it's a critical point today as well. I remember when the whole Hitnatkut took place, this occasion took place. So my former Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yaakovson from Sha'alvim, we asked him to speak. He came and he was in Detroit, so he came and spoke. And he was speaking about this engagement. And he said, his main point was, he said, the political question is for politicians, right? The international is for, you know what I'm saying, the military issue is for the military. He said, but think about it this way. When the Jewish people withdraw, because we can't, because it's not worth it, he said, that's a chilul Hashem. Because what it means is,
we're weak.
The weakness of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael is a chilul Hashem. And that's essentially what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. It's not essentially, it's exactly what he's saying. You're done. Ve'amru el Yoshev ha'aretz hazot. Shamu, did you hear? And they will say to the people, the Egyptians will say to the people in that land, Shamu ki ata Hashem bekerab ha'am hazeh. Did you hear that this God that's in the midst of this nation, Asher ayin be'ayin nir'a ata Hashem, who eye to eye appeared you, God, we're going to talk about that. Notice the eye to eye. Very strange. Asher ayin ba'ayin, it should say. Asher nir'ah, ata Hashem. Ayin ba'ayin, very strange. Remind me, don't let me go without the kliyakar. Unbelievable, okay? Ve'anancha omed aleihem, and your cloud is standing upon them. U'be'amud anan ata olech lifnem yomam, u'be'amud eish layla. Right, you did all these miraculous things, these incredible things. Ve'heimata et ha'am hazeh ki'ish echad. And now you will destroy them. Boom, like one person. Ve'amru ha'goyim asher shamu et shim'acha le'mor. And the nations who have heard your sound, your name, shim'acha, not shim'cha, shim'acha, they've heard your call. They've heard that which you have said, and they will say, mi'bilti yichol et Hashem, la'vi et ha'am hazeh al ha'aretz asher nishba lehem. Couldn't do it. Vayishchatein v'amidbar. So he slaughtered them in the desert. Rather, like a shepherd, you can't bring them to market. You slaughter them in the desert. Couldn't do it.
It's Shim'acha.
Shim'acha. Who have heard your
fame.
What does it say? He says your fame. What does it mean literally? Shim'acha. That which you have made heard. Yeah. Your pronouncement. Your proclamation.
Shim'acha.
Right. What from the root.
The
shlor.
Your reputation.
Yeah. Your reputation. Right. Fame. That's what it's saying. But Shim'acha. Very interesting language. A very, very fascinating language. Okay? So what essentially does Moshe Rabbeinu say? It's a great argument. See, when Hashem picked the Jewish people, This is the one of the keys to Jewish survival. When Kadosh Baruch Hu picked us, it's not just that. Kadosh Baruch Hu picked us, and it's very beautiful and wonderful, and it's exalted. But at
there's
the same
no
time,
way out for anyone. There's no way out. Not for Am Yisrael, no.
Correct.
For
sure. We're stuck with
like
him.
Ain't
no divorce. Why?
Right.
No. There's no out.
Yeah.
We're stuck with him.
He's stuck with us.
And he's stuck with us. Why? Because he staked his reputation on us. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this also, you know what I'm saying? That there's that in a sense, like there's a lot of ideas in Jewish thought, a very deep idea, that like, does God need us? Does Kadosh Baruch Hu need us? Mm-hmm. You know, to bless God? We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Lokeinu Mor, what? Does he need our bracha? In a very real way, Hashem does need us. because he said he could destroy the world. I mean, he could choose not to, but he created the world for a reason. So if once he chose the Jewish people to fulfill that mission, he's stuck with us. Why? Because it's in his own self-interest. Because if he's not, if he destroys us, if we don't succeed, then he doesn't succeed. Which is worse than just sticking it out and figuring it out and making it happen.
So he has quite an ego, is what you're saying.
What?
So Hashem actually has quite an ego.
No. It's not the ego. It's more that there's a tafkid, there's a mission to be fulfilled. And the only way to fulfill that mission, once you pick us, is through us. So we can mess it up, but we can't mess it up totally. We can suffer the consequences, but not 100%. And Moshe Rabbeinu knows that. When it comes to the argument over and over again, he says, you can't destroy them. You want to destroy them, but you can't. Why? Because then you'd cause a chil Hashem. And the one thing a Kadosh Baruch Hu can't do is to be mechalel his great name. It's like that famous question that I always start talking about. You never heard this question? I think I've told you. Can God lift or create a rock he can't lift? Remember that famous question? That's my favorite, like Klutz Kosmic question. Can God create a rock? Like, so then why is that a problem? Because if he can't create a rock he can't lift, he's not all powerful. And if he can't create a rock he can't lift, he's not all powerful. Yeah. It's not a limitation, the answer is, it's not a limitation on God that he can't limit himself. Chil Hashem is the limiting of God in the world. The one thing God can't do is to be Mechal Hashem. What can the Ribbono Shel Olam do? He can pull back. But he can't actively cause Chil Hashem. Right. He can hide himself. So, what does Moshe say? One second.
Wait, what about with Noah? He did that.
Did what?
Started over.
He did start over because he didn't declare his name, or he didn't connect himself to one people.
But he still started over. It's like he made a mistake with the world.
But he wasn't out there yet.
He didn't proclaim himself to the world, right? He didn't proclaim himself and associate himself with one people, with the people of God, the people of the one God. Remember, that was the Yetziat Mitzrayim was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's like coming out party. Abram declared God's name, but Hashem revealed himself. The whole Yetziat Mitzrayim, the whole Chet Hayam Suf, the whole Har Sinai, it was, you know, here's the God.
So, hang on.
Everybody shall see.
So when the Bnei Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, and they were all from the Avot.
Yeah.
But they hadn't passed the belief in one God and what that meant down to the kids and grandchildren.
No, not at all. It's very easy to lose if you're in a foreign society. You lose it in two generations. Gone. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, they were there for several generations. Of course, history is like that. They passed down their identity. That's all they passed down. But they had to be taught again. And it wasn't just that they had to be taught. I think we talked about this through the Makot. The Jews had to be taught, and the Egyptians had to be taught at the same time. So the Jews had this sort of like, you know, oh yeah, I think I heard that from my great-great-grandfather. I remember that we used to like light candles with my great-grandmother. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Jews had. The Egyptians never had it. What did Pharaoh say when Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, because God called me and said, let my people go. What did Pharaoh say?
Who's that?
Which is a lot of gods. I believe in gods. It's not on my list. You know what I'm saying? We're a very religious people. We honor gods. But this, I never heard of this one. And now you're telling me that God is more important than all the other gods? Come on. Really? You know what I'm saying? I mean, well, think about what happened today. Somebody came to, I don't know, President of the United States and said, you did a great job, terrific. God says, whatever Israel says, you shall do. Even, they believe in God. Really, a prophet? Come on. Really? That's how Pharaoh did. That's why the whole thing, the whole process was there in order to establish it. So what does Moshe say? Okay, he continues. The Atta. One second. Ah, it says the Midrash. There's a beautiful Midrash on this. Let's look at Rashi for a second. Bibilti Yecholet Hashem. What's the argument? Bibilti Yecholet Hashem, says Rashi. One second.
You should something about the Kliya
Kam. We'll get there later.
Yeah.
Okay, 1 second. Yishachad. So in the Midrash, points out that God comes to him and says, really, Moshe, they're not going to say I couldn't do it. Remember, they saw Yetziat Mitzrayim. So of course they know I can do it. So how in the world would they say that I can't? I beat them. I beat Pharaoh, the strongest military in the world. They don't ever say such a thing, says Rashi. Nefishi Yoshivei Haaretz Chazakim VeGiborim. Now they're very strong. VeEino Dome Paro LeShloshim VeEchad Melachim. They have a coalition. There are 31 kings in Egypt. There are, you know, there are a group of different kingdoms. So they, what are they going to say? They're going to say, yeah, you could beat the Egyptians. That's one nation. But this is much more than that. You couldn't beat them. You couldn't do that. Okay. What will they say? Mibilti. Rashi's continuing. Because you couldn't bring them there, so he slaughtered them. Okay? And the I'll just read you the midrash that Rashi's based on. It's a Gemara in Brachot. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. I'm just meaning for this. You don't have it. God said to Moshe, "V'haklo la kvar ra'u nisim u'gvurot she'asite lahem." They all saw the whole world. It was on the front page of the New York Times. Everybody knows. Right? Amar lefanu Moshe, "Ribono shel Olam." God, "Adayin yesh lahem lomar." They still should say, "Lemelech echad yachol la'amod. Le'shloshim ve'echad melachim eino yachol la'amod." One king they could do. 31 kings they could. He couldn't do it. So he slaughtered them in the desert. What's interesting is, according to the Midrash sees it as a longer conversation. Like, there's back and forth. There's discussion between God and Moshe. And they're back and forth. Well, come on, Moshe. They're not going to say it. Hashem, come on. They really are going to say it. You know. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to argue with Hashem. So like it's an interesting give and take that you don't see that the Midrash talks about. Moshe continues. Va'ata Yigdal na koach Hashem, kasher dibarta lemor. And now, yigdal, let it be great the power of God as you spoke, saying, what is the koach Hashem, the great koach that Moshe Rabbeinu wants him to yigdal, the power of God? What is the great power of God that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to invoke? Now, God, let's see how powerful you really are. What is the greatest? That's right. The greatest power is the power of forgiveness. The greatest power is not to destroy. Destroying is easy. Overcoming, conquering yourself.
Yeah, one's ego.
One's anger. One's justified anger.
And ego.
And, well, I don't like the word ego when it comes to God. No, it makes me uncomfortable. God doesn't have ego.
For us to forgive.
Right. For us, it's ego. For the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, okay. For the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, it's all uncomfortable. But
right.
Meaning Yigdal, and this is a big Yud, the greatness of God. Yigdal, and Koach Hashem, he spoke. Hashem, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed, Nosei Avon, V'Pesha, Lo Yinake, V'Nake, Lo Yinake, Poked Avon, Avot, Al Banim, Al Shileshim, V'Av Yibayim.
It's davening.
What?
This is davening.
It's davening? We have to stop. You have to comment on this. What does Moshe Rabbeinu invoke? Oh, we do say it. Do we say this on Shabbos? What does Moshe Rabbeinu invoke? What do we call those? You have to look at it very carefully. Okay? What do we invoke? What's this called?
Oh, Yom Kippur.
Very good. We say Yom Kippur. What's it called? Anybody know? Anybody know the term, what it's really called? No. Very good. Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim. Good. What's the problem? Now that you said that, what's the problem?
We say Rav Chesed V'Emet.
Good. Well, you know it's part of the problem. Keep going.
Rosa.
Sing it to yourself. Sing it to yourself. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanum. Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Yemen. Right? Well, start noticing. Now far to follow inside. Hashem, Hashem. What are you missing? Second Hashem. Kel Rachum V'Chanun. Rachum Chanun. What? Hashem, Rachum Chanun. Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed.
Emet.
Missing Emet. Nosei Chesed La'alafim. Well, so we missed that. Nosei Avo V'Pesha. V'chata'a v'nakei. What the heck? What?
So they offered it for the davening.
What? So beautiful. So Moshe?
Huh?
Moshe? Skipped some. Which raises the obvious question. What in the world? Why did he skip one?
What did we add?
What?
Did we add it?
No. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't add anything. Because
we asked for the davening.
No. We don't add anything from the davening. Hashem said, one second. I'm reading from Shemot, Perek Lamed Dalet. Vayitasei b'moshem, vayikra b'shem Hashem, vayivor Hashem al panav vayikra. Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make this up. But the reason we say it, you understand, it's really critically important. The reason we say this on Yom Kippur, especially at, in Slichot, we say it, for the month leading up to, for the weeks leading up, the Friday months for the month, for the weeks leading up to Yom Kippur. It's really all about Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, we say it over and over and over again. And at Ne'ilah, we say it seven times, over and over and over again. Once at Rav Meidan, Rosh Hashiva now of Har Etzion, he says the reason why, he says, you say the Slichot, he says, but at some point it just gets to be a joke. Because you're only saying the stuff in between at Ne'ilah. It's getting, you notice the stuff in between is getting shorter and shorter and shorter until you just say like, rub-a-dub-dub, you know, thanks for the grub, Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Like, you're just saying nothing just to get to another Yudgimo Mito Rachamim. The reason is because Hashem said, Vayavor Hashem apanav, Vayikra Hashem, Hashem, Ker Rachum Mechanun, Erech Mayim Rav Chesed Remit, Notz Chesed Alavim Zem Rav Chesed Rachatav Lenerke. It's exactly the same. We say it's a formula, it's a recipe, it's a nusach. God says, when I am angry, when you can't appease me, just say this thing.
Okay, so why does Moshe change it?
Why did Moshe change it? Why didn't he just say the magic words? Abracadabra, forgive them, we win. You have to. And you know what? And Hashem says, okay. Slach na, and Moshe continues. So why did Moshe skip? We'll get back to that. And then we're going to talk about some of the internal language also. Slach na la'avon ha'am hazeh kegodel chasdecha. Please forgive this nation, the sin of this nation, kegodel chasdecha, as is your great chesed. Ha'asher nasata la'am hazeh mimitzayim v'heina. And as you have overlooked, raised up this nation from Egypt until now. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu says, what does he say essentially? Forgive them. Okay. Vayomer Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. What's unusual here? What should Moshe say? What should Hashem say? Vayomer Hashem, Salachti. What is Kidvarecha? Kidvarecha. Let me close it here. What does Hashem say in Shemot? Lamed Dalet. Yomer Hashem. Slach me mazem v'nedum tana. Oh, it's interesting. It never really says it here because in the Yud Gimel Midot, in giving Yud Gimel Midot, it's clear that Hashem forgave them right away, and He gave them a second luchot. So Hashem says, Salachti Kidvarecha, next words, Ve'ulam. What does Ve'ulam mean? Ve'ulam.
But.
What?
But.
That's a bad but.
Yeah,
Ulam is negative.
But.
I have forgiven them, but. Chai ani v'yimalech
v'yimalech. The thing that I've forgiven them because of what you've said is already with a restraining
that. Well, one second. That's the question. What is
right,
the
kid? I didn't want to.
What is the
kid? It's not because I want to forgive them. I'm doing it because you know, what you said makes sense.
You know what? I don't care why you forgave them. You forgave them. Really?
But it's not really a full forgiveness. It's not full hearted.
Well, it's like, you know, I talk about those apologies. You know what I'm saying? I have to give a lesson to teachers in Hebrew schools, synagogue schools. How do you teach tshuva? And the key to tshuva is one of the keys to tshuva is asking for forgiveness. So now we see it all the time, you know, like when celebrities do some ridiculous thing and send out some crazy tweet. So how do they apologize? If I have offended anyone, I sincerely apologize. You know what I'm saying? To all my fans who were offended. Really? If I have offended anyone, I apologize? Is that really? That's how sorry you are? You know what I'm saying? Like these ham-handed apologies, you know? Mm-hmm. That's like Rina has his favorite poem she likes. It's the what it's called, the name of the poem, but it goes something like this. I am sorry for eating the plums you left in the fridge. You know that poem? They were so delicious, so cold, so sweet. You know, it's like, you never heard that poem? It's one of his favorite poems. It's a great one, you know. Like, I'm so sorry, you know. I know you were saving it for yourself. They were so good. You know? I'll find that poem. I'll send it out. It's a great poem. Okay. Salachti ki dvarecha ve'ulam, but, oh God, chai ani, as I swear in my name, so God's taking an oath in God's name, as I live, v'yimale kavod Hashem et kol ha'aretz, the honor of God will fill the whole world, ki kol ha'anashim ha'ru'im et kvodi, ve'et ototai she'asiti b'mibtayim u'bamibar, all the people that saw my glory in Egypt and in the desert, they tested me these 10 times. Meaning, in essence, God's saying, any living soul who has experience other than Caleb and Yehoshua, they'll die in the desert. And he tells them later on, 40 days, 40 years, they're all dead. So we'll have the problem. What's the problem? Okay, Moshe, I'll forgive them. But they're all dead!
Because he still has to show his power.
So then, what's the problem?
Then why did he forgive
them? No, why did he forgive them?
He didn't forgive them.
I forgive you means...
But he could have killed everybody.
He did kill everybody.
But he didn't kill the future generation.
He didn't wipe out the Israel.
Did he forgive them?
Yes. But this is a consequence. They're not ready
for it.
It's
a limited forgiveness.
Okay, that's another parsha. That's a different shear. Very good. Let's focus on this one. Did he forgive them or did he not forgive them?
He forgave.
Well, no. I did forgive you.
Hang on a second.
But he did have to show his power.
Great. So say Moshe Rabbeinu, it's all nice and good. But we've all got limits. So I can't forgive them.
Hang on, but you can say, as a parent, you can say that you forgive your kid for what they did, but obviously what you were intending doing isn't going to work, so you change your direction and you do something else with them instead.
So did he forgive them or didn't he forgive them?
Yes.
Okay.
But he just realized that what he was intending doing wasn't going to work with these people.
So what's the ulam? But...
but I'm changing direction.
Okay. But everybody, I want to point out just the challenge. But this is a good.
But I'm saying,
this is a great parsha thing to bring up. But so did Hashem forgive them or didn't he forgive them? And if he forgave them, why are they all going to die in the desert?
Because sometimes you do have to teach
them a lesson.
Yeah.
Even if you.
Well, that's a very serious lesson.
You're all dead.
But your children are going to be there.
As a nation, they needed to be taken in a different direction.
But he didn't forgive them.
But he did forgive them. You can say, I don't see why specifically he didn't forgive them. He forgave them,
okay.
But realized that what he was going to do, like taking them straight into Israel, wasn't going to work.
Well, I agree. Was that a punishment?
I don't know if it's a punishment. It's a realizing that it's not going to work.
Don't get me wrong, but when you say 40 days is 40 years for every day. No, forget the long time. That does kind of sound like a punishment. Doesn't it?
But he's still providing for them for those
40 years. I agree.
He's still looking after them. The 40 years is so that it's a different generation, so that the people who are growing up, who are kids then.
But you know, Suoti, they tested me this. I agree. All of those people that Minna Atzai, that enraged me, that provoked me.
But part of why they provoked him was because they didn't know who he was.
I'm not agreeing with that.
They didn't know who. They are taken out.
Is he punishing him or not?
Yes.
How do you call punishment? It's
how do you say it's not a punishment? Really?
He's trying to form a nation. He wants a nation.
You can tell your kids from here till tomorrow, I'm not punishing you, but they still have to stay in the room.
Renegotiate.
Yeah, you're right. It's just a consequence. It's not a punishment.
Right.
You tell them that from here till tomorrow. What are they going to say? We're readjusting. So we're not going to the fun part because you don't deserve the fun part. It's not a punishment. It's just a response to your inability to clean your room in the appropriate
time frame.
But that's part of the issue. You're new agey parenting for finessing them, but sorry, you're punishing.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Part of the issue with the Meraglim was that they were scared of normal life.
Uh-huh.
They were scared of how do they combine.
I'm agreeing with you that
Torah life,
God puts it all together.
Agricultural and living a normal life.
Great. This is all good.
They had trouble doing that. It's like.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. That's all good. That's correct. They needed the next generation, right? They weren't ready for it. I agree with all of that. It was a punishment. Why not wait out 40 years and let them go in? Let their children conquer. Why do you have to kill them out? Correct? No, there is not a contradiction.
You're saying if it was 20 years instead of 40 years, they were still alive for
20 years, 40 years.
To affect what was happening.
Why do they all have to die? They died every year in the desert. And God pretty much says it, right? Imu, I swear, imu, et aratam, and chav gimel. Anyone who, all of those who provoke me will not see this land. Right? Sounds pretty angry still.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty angry, doesn't it?
Interesting. Will not see her, but it's not, will not be in her.
Will not see her even. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's bad.
But how is that still not making a bad reputation with Mitzrayim?
Oh, Mitzrayim doesn't care. Mitzrayim doesn't care how long it takes. If they conquer the land, they conquer the land.
Yeah, but
they will conquer the land.
But they're 40 years later as well. But it's the people who are seeing them conquer the land were not the people who saw Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
I think you're right. So the level of there's a level.
Yeah, the fact now that we don't have the strength is the whole Hashem.
100%. There's a limit to what God can do.
Why would Hashem want that?
Hashem doesn't want it. You know what He wants us to do? He wants us to call in God's name. He wants us to be a nation devoted to Hashem. But we're not there yet. That's our job. That's why we have to do what we have to do.
I'm trying to get there.
We're working on it. We'll get there. Okay, let's go back for a second. Why Hashem, Hashem, Erech? Moshe Rabbeinu, you know,
he
took a little off the top. You know what I'm saying? He didn't ask for full forgiveness. And it's very clear he doesn't ask for full forgiveness. Mm. Why doesn't he ask for full forgiveness? How do I know he doesn't ask for full forgiveness?
Because he changed the wording.
He changed the words.
Yeah, Kalon is full forgiveness and he doesn't ask for full forgiveness.
He doesn't ask for full forgiveness. Isn't it very interesting? Okay?
Also,
what does Moshe? Let's go back and see. What does Moshe say? Moshe says, "V'heimata et ha'am hazeh ki ish echad." I'm looking back at 10:5:15. Okay, if you kill these people ki ish echad, all in one shot, then amuha goyim ashishimacha. Then they will say. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu not say? He did not. What
he didn't say you
he
can't kill the people.
Kill them.
Yes,
he's saying just don't do it all one
right.
shot.
Oh, right.
Correct. Correct.
So he's actually agreeing with God that there's an issue here.
So look, let me do a midrash for a second. Hashem, Erech Apayim, okay. One second. Let me just do a midrash, blah, blah, blah. Nimsa kan Sheva Midot. If you count, you only have seven midot. Where's the 13? Vehein, harehein, shloshesvei midot. Sharachami. Where's the other 13? Ela shehalchu behem chamisha malachim sheshalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu behem. God sent away like six midot. Right? You know what I'm saying? God sent those six midot against the Jewish people. You can't use some of the midot. It don't work for the Jewish people. Let's say, for example, emet. For example, ve'ot shehil shinu. They spoke Lashon Hara against who? Lashon Hara kereged kulam. Some things you can't overcome. Dabar acher, another midrash. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, emet madua eino nizkar kan. Why not? Moshe Rabbeinu Techesed ve'emet, right? Amar Rabbi Chia, hein gamu lekach, sheistalek mikan. Moshe can't use emet. Why can't he use emet? Hein higu atzman b'sheker. They lied. ובמידה אדם מודד בה מודדים לו. So according to Moshe, Hashem, Arachu, Becha, Nerech, Mehmech, Hesed, Be'emet. Emet? You want Emet? Let go. So Moshe, he has to take it off. He can't use Emet. And if you can't use the full arsenal of forgiveness,
you don't get the full forgiveness.
Okay? Mechein Shara, Achirot, Yistalku. It's like, it's so interesting. The Midrash picks up on it right away. He says, why did Moshe, he held back? He had to hold back. Because if he had not held back, it would have been an argument against the Jewish people, not for them. You can't use the things that are, you know what I'm saying? Like imagine your kid lied to you. So he said, you told me, I told you, you just lied to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you can't, well sometimes they
so
do,
where
but
did
you can't.
Lie?
What?
Where did they lie?
About we can't conquer it. Hashem will never, Eretz Israel will destroy us.
It's considered a lie.
Sheker against God. We will not be able to conquer the Jewish people. We'll never. Eretz Ochelet Yoshveahi. Is Eretz Yisrael an Eretz Ochelet Yoshveah? When Moshe Rabbeinu said it's an Eretz Zavat Chalal U'Devash. Can't use emes. Right. It's very, the Midrash picks up on it right away.
If it was
away.
Truth, it was still Lashon Hara.
What?
Even if
it was truth, it was still Lashon Hara. Yeah. Correct. Okay? But just point out, it's very, very interesting. Next thing. And we'll point out one more other thing in the Binake. In the song, he's saying, Erech, Abayi, Rav Chesed, V'yem, Yotzir Chesed, Lavim, Yosei, Avon, V'apesha, V'chata'a. V'nakei means, and he cleans us, but we don't sing the rest of it. It's not V'nakei. V'nakei, lo yinakei. It's interesting how in the tefillah we just like forget that thing. Is it V'nakei or is it lo yinakei? Which is God? Does he cleanse us or he does not cleanse us? Also, poked, we don't mention this next part. Poked avon avot. God redeems, pays back the sins of the fathers, al banim, al shileshim, al yudayim, on children, on third generation, on the fourth generation. Really? That's midat rachamim? That's compassionate? Is that compassion? V'nakeh, lo yinakeh, and pokeh ravon avot, al banim, al shileshim, al yudayim. You ever heard that before?
Yeah.
That God holds back and he pays back the next generation? Does he do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Midrash, Rashi picks up on it right away. What is Vinake lo yinake? This is Rashi for a second. Vinake. Very important Rashi. Lishavim. You see it? Rashi Yudchet Vinake. The end of the Rashi is on that Yudchet Vinake. Rashi says Lishavim. Lo yinake. The She'inam Shavim. God cleanses those who do tshuva. And he doesn't cleanse those. He doesn't absolve those who don't do tshuva. Midrash says something different. Totally different. One second. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Katuv echad omer v'naken. Katuv echad omer lo yinaken. One says it well, one says it won't. V'chiyeach shalakayim shnei ketuvim halal. It's the pasukim are self-contradictory. Ela v'nake, when can God cleanse us? Dvarim shebeincha lebeino, sins between you and God. Lo yinake, v'dvarim shebeincha lebeincha v'ercha. I didn't see this minute. I have to remember. I have to put it down because this beautifully fits the Rabbi Akiva theme that we developed about haftalecha kamocha. I have to remember that and add it to the haftalecha kamocha shiur. But it's interesting, just pointing out the internal contradiction of lo yinake. I don't have time to get into that interesting thing about shileshim v'ayibayim. There's also a contradiction between, here it says God will bring retribution for future generations, and then there's another pasuk that says, lo yumtu avot al banim. You know, that God does not punish fathers for their children and children for their fathers. So which is it? Does God punish fathers for children? Children for their fathers. I would just point out, people love to say it's not fair. How can God not punish the children for the parents, etc., etc.? Whereas though, in reality, in life, we know that our sins are very much brought down on our children. Why? Think about the things that we do, the bad choices that we make. Right? I make a bad choice. Right? Who suffers?
Children
suffer.
But that's the
good thing that we do. Yeah, natural repercussions. So why isn't sin a natural repercussion as well? Why are we to think that it's, you know what I'm saying? Like if a parent makes a terrible choice and smokes in the home. Why, are you really surprised that the kid has emphysema? He smoked for your entire life in the home. You're really surprised that the... You know what I'm saying? Why should the child suffer? That's not fair. Yeah, but you didn't think about that when you smoked your whole time? And if a parent sins, there are natural repercussions. There are spiritual repercussions that affect the child. Child picked up on your habits. Children always pick up on your habits. Right? I'm a screamer. Well, behold, what do you know? The kids are screaming too. Why? That's what they pick up. It is obvious. Anyway, don't scream.
No, about the different.
Oh, about the contradiction. Mm-hmm. Okay. What is Vayom Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha? Let's go back. So we'll just answer this question because it's important. I have forgiven Kidvarecha. Says Rashi Kidvarecha. Rashi says. On kaf, bishvil ma she'amarta. I have forgiven because of what you said, kid varecha. You convinced me. Shana for the goyim, chil Hashem, you got me. Rambam comes along and says, no way. Okay? Ramban says...
Kidvarecha as in the partial forgiveness.
What?
With limitations.
As in the partial forgiveness.
Okay.
Right, with limitations.
Yeah, the limited forgiveness.
Says
I'm not going to whack them all off in one shot. I'll
but
do it slowly.
Velo
yadati lama lo hiskir rachu mechanun. I don't know why Moshe doesn't say Hashem Hashem el rachu mechanun. The Ramban. In the middle of Yud Zayin, you have Ramban. It's in the middle of Yud Zayin. He starts with velo hiskir v'chata'a. For those of you who have it. You have it? Oh, you
yeah.
have it. Okay.
Hello.
Could you find it?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
V'avur she'elim izidim u'poshim because they sin on purpose. He does. I don't know why God, why Moshe doesn't invoke Rachum Mechanun. You found it? Found about it? Okay, good. Ulay yada Moshe, maybe Moshe knew ki hadin matuach aleihem. The justice, judgment was like God is holding the sword over them. If you ask for too much, if Moshe says, God, forgive them totally, Hashem's going to say, come on, no way. I can't do it. The sin is too great. Lachen lo bikesh rak arichut apayim. He did not ask for complete forgiveness. He only asked arichut apayim. Erech apayim.
What is that in English?
Erech, long compassion. Hashem erech apayim. Draw it out over time. Give them a payment plan. Okay? Shelo yimitem ki ish echad. Don't kill them now. Don't slaughter them like sheep in the desert that they'll die in a magefa, rather. Right? So he says, God, stretch it out. You know what I'm saying? Don't do it right now. Give him a chance. Okay, you're angry? Wait. Because Moshe only asked for this arichut apayim, this erech apayim, long compassion. Amarlo, he says, Salachti kidvarecha. Moshe Rabbeinu, what you asked for,
that's what you brought.
That's what you got. Hayem erech apayim v'rav chesed. Okay. V'hizkir lahem poked avon avot, and you remember Moshe that lomar, she'im yir'esh shelo limchot avonam, yifkot avon avot, al b'nehem ul'erech apayim b'yikachem. And he says, it's an element of compassion to impose the sins of the fathers on the children. Because if you don't impose the sins of the fathers on the children, there won't be any children. There is a price to be paid. But if you do it all in one shot, it's too much to bear. So you draw it out over time. You think it's not fair? It's the most fair. He finishes. Umizeh, this is fascinating. Umizeh haita gzeira likvoa lehem b'chia lidorot balayla hazeh. It's a very famous midrash. It says, "Vayikku kol ha'am ba'layla ha'hu," and God says, "Atem b'chita mechinam, I'll give you something to cry about. You cried about nothing. I'll give you something to cry. You know, right? B'chiyah l'dorot. The night of Tisha B'Av is what's called b'chiyah l'dorot, an eternal night of crying. Why Rabbi says eternal night of crying? Because it was too much on that one day. So you think it was only 40 years? No. Initially, God says, fine. The first payment of the payment plan is the 40 years. We're still paying out over time. It's like, you know, your mortgage. Like, you only owe a little bit of cab. You owe a little bit at the very end. So, okay, once a year you pay. It goes on. I'm skipping a lot. That's why he says, Salach to kivarecha. Okay. Ava yislach lehem, shishu b'nehem. Skipping. One second. Right? That's why Moshe, he says, didn't pray fully. He understood. It'll be a shana for the going. It doesn't work twice fully. Only works a little bit. And Hashem said, Vayom Hashem salach viki varecha ve'ulam, I'm doing exactly what you said. Moshe Rabbeinu, he got what he could. He saved us. But there's no way out of the full punishment. Whatever you ask for, that Moshe asked for, that's exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam did. Okay. It's a very, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you can't ask for everything. You can only ask for what you think you can achieve. Kliyakar, I promise you, Kliyakar. The Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu notes, Asher, and look carefully in, one second, he said, Moshe says, Yudalit v'amru, and they will say, Yosheva Aretz Hazot Shamu Ki Ata Hashem Bekerav Ha'am Hazeh. You are God. Asher Ayin Be'Ayin Nirah. That saw them eye to eye. So Kliyakar says, what is this eye to eye thing? Ayin Be'Ayin. So he gives you a remez. Beautiful remez. Ayin Be'Ayin. He says, Bizchut Yisrael. She kibla et haTorah be'ayin panim. How many panim are there to the Torah? Shivim panim. What's shivim in gematria? What's the number? The letter 70 gematria. Ayin. Ayin yud nun. Ayin. Okay. They accepted shivim panim the Torah. V'zeu pirusha pasuk. This is what it means. Ki ayin be'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem etzion. It says in Yishayahu. Ayin be'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem etzion. Okay, Chachamim say, Nichnas Yayin, Yatza Sot. Yayin in Gematria is how many? Yud, Yud, Nun?
20, 70.
Sod, Sin, 60, Vav Dalet, plus another 10.
70.
Nichnas Yayin, if you bring, put in 70, Yatza Sot. You get 70 out. Ayin, 70, Be'ayin. 70, Be'70. Okay? What is Ayin in Sod? Geula is the Sod Hashem. Nichnas Yayin, you put in the Yayin, the Yenashel Torah, Yatza Sod, you get the Sod of Geula. Ayin v'ayin Yiru, we saw from Hashem that if we put in the 70 of Ayin, of Torah, of Yayin, we'll get out the 70 of Sod of Geula. That's the remez of Ayin v'ayin Yiru. Right, the 70, if we put in the 70 of Torah, the Shivim Panim of the Torah, we'll get the Sod, the 70 of Geula. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to him, Tashar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ayin v'ayin yira, we understand, we just forgot. I made a mistake, but in the end, B'nai Yisrael will keep the Torah. They'll take the Shivim, the Ayin, and v'ayin yiru, they'll get the Ayin of the Geula. It's a nice idea to end off with.
It's where the Muslims get eye for an eye?
No.
That's somewhere else.
Ayin,
that's later.
Yeah, that's totally weird. Something hopeful to end off with.